Well, I'll let you take a seat for just a moment. Get to share the word with you for a minute, but I was really, really challenged today, actually throughout the week. So I want you to practice with your outside voices for those of you who want to respond to this, but does anybody know that the word of God is living and active? Yeah, so I agree it is. Hebrews 4:12 says it is, but today, as God does often, it became living and active for me, and it was really special. I'm going to let you into it. So EJ had asked that I read Psalm 96. We're going to do that in a moment, and you're welcome to find that in advance if you'd like to do that. But I kept getting the sense that we needed to read John 1, and I couldn't make sense out of it, and I kept pushing it back and pushing it back. And this morning I got up early and I was making my coffee and the sun was just starting to light up Panoka and it was just peaking and all these clouds were up in the sky where they belong. And all of a sudden I could see all these brilliant pinks and oranges and they just lit up as the sun came into our area. And I just saw this and I literally stood at the window mesmerized, watching and just waiting. And it was incredible. And then it hit me. Just like the sun rises and everything reflects back the image of the light, the sun, Jesus, we are to reflect back that image. And I've been stuck on John chapter 1, and it's in the beginning was the Word. The Word, Jesus, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. The true light, skipping ahead in John 1, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And here's where it comes together. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in that posture, recognizing that we are to reflect back the one who is worthy of all the glory and all the praise, in that place, I want to read Psalm 96. Now, whatever posture you need, some people like to stand for the reading of the word. Some people want to close their eyes. Some people want to follow along. Some people want to get down on their knees and just sit under the word. You choose your posture. Psalm 96 says this. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Reflect back everything he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be revered above all the gods. The gods of other nations are merely idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship him. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. Tell all the nations that the Lord is king. The world is firmly established and cannot be shaken. He will judge all peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst forth with joy. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise before the Lord. For the Lord is coming, He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and all the nations with his truth. Thank you.
Thank you, Jarrell. I love how God puts these things together. Because my very first sentence after Jarrell says, many of the words that describe praise and worship in the Bible describe a posture of the body, a position of the body, or an action. Often in Hebrew, there were different words to express something. And in English, sometimes we just have one word. For instance, worship is used in many different Hebrew words to express different forms of worship or praise. And if you look in our King James Bible or NIVs, it just gives the word worship or just gives the word praise. So I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about the different postures of worship in the Old Testament and the different words to describe praise, which means there's something for all of us with all our personalities. One of the postures, there are basically seven I'm going to just quickly tell you. And if you want to know the scripture references, come on up after and I'll give them to you. But just for the sake of time, I'm going to tell you what they are. The first one is bowing the head. So when we sang that song, We Fall Down, I was realizing that's hard to do in a church setting. I did that on purpose. Years ago, I was told when you sing anything to do with bow or falling, just bow your head. I didn't do that today, but that's been my practice for years. To bow our head is a significant act of reverence, respect, honor, and service. The other is the lifting of the hands. And this is the high lifting of the hands. And it signifies surrender and acknowledging majesty. Then there's the spreading out of the hands. So that's this way. So there's two things about spreading open your hands. One is to receive from God, but also to thank him for what is yet to be put into your hands. Then there's bowing your knee. It can be both knees, it can be one knee, but it is meant as an act of total submission and surrender. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he knelt on his knees and he spread his hands out. And he prayed a very long prayer, holding that posture for a long time. And in that, he interceded for people that would be coming into their area and even starting to follow the living God. He prayed for all kinds of people. It's fascinating to read. It's in Chronicles if you want to look at it later. The next one is clap your hands. Everybody just clap your hands. Did anything bad happen? Do you know from the moment you are a miracle of conception, you are hearing rhythm? I've been told by doctors that our general rhythm of the human body is around 80 beats per minute. So as that little one is being carried in a mama's belly, he's hearing rhythm. So anybody that says drums are bad, they didn't know this fact, that they've been hearing rhythm since the miracle of their conception. Clapping your hands, actively engaging in an action, an expression of worship. Another little word about clapping I want to say. In our culture, I've been in churches where they feel if we clap after something, then we're applauding a performance. That's not always so. Sometimes we clap in agreement, and sometimes we clap to say, thank you for that. I agree with that. That touched my soul. Hallelujah. So never be afraid to clap after someone gives an offering of some kind. It's not a performance. It's you're saying, I agree. You blessed me. Thank you for that expression. Another one is called falling on your face. We don't do that a lot in our culture, but there are some cultures, they do that all the time. And I read something this week was so interesting. It'd be a study for those of you that want to look it up. But all the greatest people in the scriptures spent some time on their faces. They were down on their face in worship in front of God. Moses, Joshua. The last one is dancing. I don't know about you, but that was amazing to watch those little ones. The very first time I saw it at practice on Saturday, I actually wept. There's something about a fresh, innocent expression of worship that is meaningful. So remember, David was a warrior. He was considered strong, one of the choice kings of the time. So here's this king, man with stature and office, dancing with reckless abandon. He probably looked ridiculous. And you know what? He was also judged by those closest to him. It's also a lesson to us that our posture is for God alone. The Hebrew had different words for praise as well, and I'm going to share with you a few of them just quickly, and then we'll move on. One of the main words is called hallel, and that's not to be confused with certain ways of preparing meat and that kind of thing, because most of us are like, oh, that's not okay. But hallel is a primary Hebrew word for praise. And the full word hallelujah, the end part, hallelujah, excuse me, that has been explained as part of the word Yahweh. So we are praising Yahweh. Hallel actually means to praise, to shine, to boast, to rave, to celebrate, or to be clamorously foolish. When was the last time you were clamorously foolish in public? There's a scripture in Psalms 150. It says, praise Hallel the Lord. Praise Hallel God in his sanctuary, and praise Hallel him in his mighty expanse. So often we just put the one word praise there, but there's all these different expressions. There's one called yada, and I may not say these correctly, but it's the extended hand, to worship with an extended hand, to lift the hand, to point with the hand. In Psalm 63, that is the word used when it says, I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Tauda. It's like yada, but more specific. It's an extension of the hand in adoration, acceptance. It's inferred that it's thanking God for what's already in hand and for things not yet received. As in Psalm 23, whoso offereth praise, tauda, glorifieth me. Shabak. This is a boast, a shout, or to address in a loud tone, to announce or pronounce. I love this verse so much. One generation shall praise, Shabak, thy words to another and declare thy mighty acts. One generation is going to pass on to the next generation God's mighty works. Barak is to kneel down. It's to bless God as an act of adoration or salute. In Psalm 95, it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us Barak, kneel before the Lord our Maker. Two more. Zamar, to pluck the strings of an instrument, to sing praise with a musical word, joyful expressions of music on musical instruments. Psalm 21, be exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength. So we will sing and praise, Zamar, thy power. And Tehillah, from the word halal, to sing or laud involves music, hymns of praise. In Psalm 22, thou art holy, O Lord, thou art enthroned, or another way to say it is thou art inhabited upon our praises of Israel, Tehillah. There are other expressions of worship in the Bible, like presenting your body a living sacrifice in Romans. That is your spiritual worship. There's a sacrifice of praise, the days when it's very hard to sing or even praise the Lord for his works, as you're waiting for what he is going to do. And then there's our giving. I want to do something different this morning. We have our offering plates up at the front. And I'd like to suggest that as an expression of worship this morning, that we come to the front and put our offering in the plate. Now, when this idea first came to me, I thought, oh, I know that verse. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. I'm not that comfortable with this. I come from a tradition where we put everything down in the bottom of a deep sack so no one sees what you give. And I think I want to do something very different this morning. I've been in churches where entire families will come forward, and as their act of worship, they will give. When Stephen and I first got married, it came about to tithing. This is what he said to me, EJ, we're not going to give our money to the Lord. I was a little bit interested in that because I came from a good Anglican family where we do tithe quite regularly. And he said, let's not look at it that way. Let's look at it, how much of God's money are we going to keep for ourselves? That changed everything for me in the giving. God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our resources. But we need to give them as a way of holding things quite loosely and remembering whose they are. Of thine own have we given thee. Amen? So this morning, I'm going to invite you to come up to the front as an act of worship. Bring your whole family if you care to. If you are not comfortable with this, the plates are going to stay here till the end of the service, and you can give that way. This is not a spectator event. If you're visiting with us, please do not feel any obligation to participate unless you want to. This is an opportunity to be deliberate in our giving as an offering of worship. So I will ask everyone to stand so that those who do want to come forward, it's just easier. And I invite you now, if you care to, prayerfully and quietly, let's just all close our eyes. It doesn't matter who comes and who doesn't. Father, receive our gifts. Because it's of your own that we're giving you back. You have blessed us in so many ways. And you don't need our resources. But when we give them to you, we hold them loosely. And it has a very, very light hold on our hearts.